podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by 99designs, the world's largest graphic design marketplace. 99designs connects businesses seeking quality, affordable designs with a community of more than 225,000 graphic designers. Visit 99designs.com/AAA to receive a free power pack upgrade valued at $99. Hello and welcome to another episode of All About Android, episode 132, recorded on Tuesday, October 22nd, 2013. We're your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
I'm Ron Richards. Woo.
And I'm Gina Trapani.
Yeah, in the saddle again. We are back, Ron.
Back. It is good to be back. I missed the show. I'm so sorry. To miss 1 week is bad. To miss 2 weeks just hurts.
Yeah.
So, but I almost
kicked you off the show.
I was in no shape to
out of the band.
I was in no shape to do it. I had no voice. It was awful. New York Comic Con beat me up. So, yeah. But I'm back. I'm well rested. Caught up on the news.
Excellent.
I'm bummed I missed the Google TV, Android TV thing. But
Okay, what do you have to say real quick? Okay.
Yeah, that was about it. That's all I probably would have said.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. I'm happy we got that on the air.
Yeah. That's what everyone says about Google TV.
Thank you, Ron.
But is that what everyone will say about Android TV? That voice you just heard is Ron Amadio, reviews editor for Ars Technica. Welcome back to the show, sir.
Hello, great to be here.
It is great to have you back. You've written some great stuff, particularly one article that we're going to be talking about in a few moments here that should spur some lively debate. I have a feeling that's about Google's Iron Grip.
Ooh.
That's a nice tease. Also, we're going to be discussing launching apps for Android first, something that seems to come up on the show here and there, adding more butter to your Android. And more. But first, I feel like we just did this.
We just did.
But we might as well do it again. 5 years ago today, the G1 launched. We celebrated the 5-year announcement. Now we're celebrating the launch.
5 years ago today, you could actually get it. What are the odds that it would be today that it's on a Tuesday?
Yeah, every time.
That when we did the show. Yeah, that's kind of weird. Like, why are these anniversaries lining up with our record day?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
So. So 5 years ago today.
I can't wait in a month to celebrate the 5-year anniversary of the G1 being out for a month.
Yes, that was an important day. Yes. I remember where I was that day.
I like that it was called the Dream because it was sort of anything but that. But it was a momentous release, the G1. I have warm feelings about the G1, which we talked about last week because we celebrated the anniversary.
I know. That's what it feels like. It probably was, actually, for you because you were out the last couple of weeks.
Yeah,
so it's like literally the last time you were on, we did this already.
There's always arguing when this comes up. Do you do SDK or the announcement formation of Android? But that's a whole show.
Never mind.
Continue.
What is the actual anniversary day?
Right.
I love that phone. That was a great little phone.
You bought it in advance or it was shipped to you or?
I went to go pick it up. I told the story. When my friend had got it, I had drinks and I went across the street and I bought it immediately.
Yeah.
It was great. The little nubbin, the little trackball.
No,
I feel like
nubbin.
Didn't we just do this?
Oh, yeah. We just did this. Let's waste no more time doing this again. I feel like we're repeating ourselves, and that's probably because we are. Instead, let's dive right into the news. Chad Johnson.
Cut Chad unawares.
He was entranced.
I was just worried that you were going to hear a YouTube video of the G1 behind it, so I had to mute the video and then switch. Sorry.
It's tough, Chad. I know.
My issues.
I know it's hard.
It's TriCaster acrobatics.
Video switcher problems.
All right. So, Ron Amadio, you wrote a fantastic article, if I do say so myself,
fantastic.
A very good read on Ars Technica, where you call it Google's Iron Grip on Android, controlling open source by any means necessary. Dun, dun, dun. Feel like there has to be dramatic music around that. But you kind of dive into this thing that you call closed source creep. Instead of me summarizing your article for you, how about I just throw it to you and tell us what you think people need to know about this article and what your point, what you're trying to get across here.
Yeah, that chart is a good like picture of what happened. You know, when Android first came out, it was very easy to do open source everything. You know, you have zero market share down there at the left of the graph. Just anybody who shows up and will support your product, you're just totally cool with. But now, when like the worldwide market share is like 80% and it's like a super powerful mobile platform, they're like slowly trying to take back control of an open source project. Like you can't put the source code, you can't like take the source code back, but they do a whole bunch of different stuff to make it so that nobody can fork Android and take their product from them, basically. And I just kind of went through and listed all the different ways that they're trying to keep Android for themselves.
Yeah, one of the ways, of course, is something that we talk about regularly on the show, which is just the fact that they're breaking out these core pieces of what used to be part of the Android open source project, and they're basically turning them into apps, which are in fact closed source. And as a result, the AOSP is becoming this kind of like repository for outdated versions of these applications. You get the old camera, the old calendar, whatever.
Less,
if you
want less the good than stuff, version, less than versions.
Yeah, less yeah. than versions and yeah. old versions in yeah. some cases, yeah. like that Google search, for example.
Just about any time you see something get launched in the Play Store, that usually means the open source version is dead. Or anything that starts with the word Google usually means it's closed source. So like all the KitKat leaks we've been seeing where like Hangouts is going to be in SMS, that probably means the stock SMS app is going to go away and yep. will not be updated anymore. And we're seeing this thing called Google Pictures, which looks a lot like Google Plus Pictures, mm-hmm. but that probably means the gallery is going to go away. And same thing with the home screen and all this other stuff. So, you know, every time you see them move something to the Play Store, that means your open source version is going to sit there and rot forever.
Stinky. And you also talk about kind of weaving dependence on Google into all these third-party developers' apps. So, you know, things like Play Services, Play Music, just basically the Google Play ecosystem. You put it really well here. You said Play Services is turning the Android app ecosystem into the Google Play ecosystem, yep. which is to say that all these developers are kind of building this dependence around the Google services. So something like a Kindle Fire that is not, you know, part of the OHA, the Open Handset Alliance, so they don't have these Google sanctioned apps and services on their device. In some ways, well, those apps then have to be kind of retooled to work on Amazon's platform.
Well, yeah, and they're doing that anyway, though. I mean, but that's the thing, is this weird navigation between open source and what is not, I don't want to say best for Android, but what is the direction of Android? Because, you know, because what Google has done is they've you know, unveiled Android to the world as open source, letting people iterate and stuff like that. And because of that, you're getting offshoots and you're getting like Samsung and HTC and you're getting all these different UIs and, you know, and they're clearly developing their own versions of those apps as well. So why? And I'm playing devil's advocate here, so I'm not. I don't want to be there. But like, why can't Google? You know, like, why? I don't really see. You know, I guess the challenge or the question that Ron brings up is what will happen to those open source versions, and will anyone be able to pick up the torch from them and continue developing them without Google support?
Yeah, Gina, how do you feel about all this? Does it kind of sway you in either direction? Do you not like to see the direction that Android's going in, or does it not bother you so much?
Well, first, I want to say, Ron, this is a great piece. This is like one of the best arguments I've ever seen about, you know, making the case that Android isn't open, right? Like, I've heard people say that a bunch, and it's like, and I never really bought it. But like you're demonstrating that Google is investing their resources now into a proprietary Google layer, and they're not converting existing AOSP apps to closed source. They're just abandoning them, which makes it difficult for other companies to fork Android and have useful messaging apps and calendar apps and that kind of thing. So I actually don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with Google building a proprietary layer on top of an open source layer. I mean, I think it's very common for businesses to, you know, you don't open source your business value, right? You keep the proprietary stuff that's your business value closed, and that's cool. That I'm cool with. The thing that, I mean, I'm not cool with the fact that core apps, camera and messaging and calendar are turning into abandonware, or Google search are turning into abandonware, and they look old and they haven't been updated and Google isn't contributing resources to them. I think what Google needs to do is create a process where other companies can improve those open source apps and contribute that code back into Google, and that Google would accept that code into AOSP. As far as I know, only Google commits to AOSP. Right? And correct me if I'm wrong on that. And I think that's where...
It's really weird. There's the public repository that just kind of sits out there, and you can maybe submit little bug fixes to it, but you can't submit big features. Google has their own code repository that's like private inside Google that all the development happens in and stuff like that. So
right.
There's you can do things that don't matter, but you can't control Android or move it in a direction or add features, really.
Right. I mean, I think that's where, like, the fact that they're abandoning parts of the operating system now and not updating them in favor of putting their resources toward the closed source apps, I think this is the point, this is the juncture where Google has to change the fact that no one else can send pull requests or make significant contributions to the operating system. That said, like, The standalone non-Google dependent apps like messaging and calendar and the email client or whatever, that's all open source. Those are APKs. Those are standalone apps. So it wouldn't take much for another company to pull down those open source apps, you know, improve on them, and then sort of make this, you know, open source layer on top of AOSP that other people can use. I don't know why any company would do that, though, right? Because, like, the only reason why you're forking Android is because you're trying to distribute, you know, a platform that helps users get to your services, right? So, like, I don't know what the value is there. I mean, I think it's a good point that only the most dominant player, you know, when you're the underdog, being open is valuable, but when you're not, it's not. The thing that really bothers me is, and this is deep in your article, you said that Google insists that anybody that's in the Open Handset Alliance can only distribute Google-approved versions of Android. To me, that's straight up bullying, not cool.
That's competitive advantage, or that's, you know, I mean, like, this is the challenge, and this is the problem where it's the intersection between the, you know, I don't want to say hippie, but like the world is great, let's all work together kind of open source ideal, when it bumps up against the big, you know, fist of capitalism. Mm-hmm. Of ultimately everyone's looking to make money, and Google is in direct competition with Apple and iOS, and so they will do everything by any means necessary to do that. And if that means having a bully-like approach to the Open Handset environment, saying we are the ones who are setting the standard for this, they can get away with it because their stock price is whatever it is, and they're, you know, they've got all the resources behind it. And you're right. I mean, open is great when you're the underdog, but when you're on top, then that's when things start to close up.
Yeah, that right there actually speaks to something we mentioned pretty briefly on last week's show about the Amazon potentially partnering with HTC to release phones in 2014. I mean, yep. HTC would take, you know, the risk and possibly, as far as the OHA is concerned, be booted out the same way that, you know, Acer was with Aliyun. If HTC really stepped in and started to work with Amazon on phones for Amazon, even though HTC is part of the OHA right now, that would be a device that, you know, that goes against that agreement.
And why would that be in HTC's best interest? Because Amazon will write them a big fat check.
But then
you're stuck with Amazon forever,
right?
Because you will just get kicked out of the Open Handset Alliance. Google won't give you Gmail in the Play Store. I don't know how long. I mean, nobody really knows all the details about this Open Handset stuff. It's just whatever we've learned from lawsuits and public arguments between Google and other companies. So it's such a big risk, and we've gone through all this already with Acer and that Chinese company. So unless they've come up with some kind of loophole, it can't happen.
Yeah.
I think that the Open Handset Alliance should be renamed something other than the Open Handset Alliance, because it seems pretty clear that it's anything but open.
The Google Handset Alliance.
The Google Handset Alliance.
And hey, listen, I'm a big fan of Google. I'm a big fan of Android. But I'll be the first to say that this is very similar to what Apple has done. You know, I mean, like, remember all that stuff when you couldn't have apps in the app store that did things that Apple's apps did?
Yeah.
It wouldn't allow other messaging apps. It wouldn't allow other browsers. Do you remember that when we couldn't have Chrome on iOS because you had Safari? And don't worry, that's all you need.
Mm-hmm.
So
there's a difference. I mean, Google's versions, like, look, Hangouts is way better than Messenger, and Gmail is way better than like the standard, you know, email client. I mean, Google is creating value that consumers want. I mean, consumers want the Google suite of apps so badly that all these companies are willing to agree to only distribute Google approved. It's just it's I like that approach better than the iOS version of like explicitly saying,
yep.
You know, we know that there's a better browser called Chrome, but you're not allowed to run it on the operating system. But, you know, so that's the pro Google standpoint. The anti Google standpoint is like Google's saying that Android is open, right? But the truth is it isn't, right? But so they're saying they're one thing, but they're behaving, you know, differently.
Oh, they're speaking out of two mouths. Because because open is yay developers, and everything else, you know, cash is checks.
Well, there's, you know, what my angry commenters will tell me is that there's two different layers. You know, there's always been closed source stuff on top of Android, but it's just the line between closed and open is moving more toward closed. But you can still download AOSP and get it to build on whatever you want. And like, if you just fire up an emulator, you'll see what you can use that's actually closed sourced. And it's nothing. I mean, it's completely useless as a device. But, you know, you can still, it's like, like hackers can use it to get stuff up and running on a phone. But if you want to actually be commercial with it, if you want to make a useful product, you need to go talk to Google and license Google apps, because there's just nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Right, or you need to build your own, which is what Amazon
did. Right. And that's competitive. Yeah, isn't that competitive advantage?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's their business value.
Right.
The Google layer, the proprietary layer that lays on top of the operatings of the Android operating system is Play Services and all that stuff is Google's competitive advantage, and Google wants, you know, is offering enough value for consumers they want it, and Google's offering enough value to developers to develop for it, right? Which is the other thing that concerns me. You know, like, Google Play Services is awesome as a developer, but your app only works on Google devices, and that's okay because Google devices are the majority of devices and Google's doing everything they can to keep it that way, right? So, you know, in the end, like, is Fire OS, like, does CyanogenMod, like, do these alternate Android forks, like, do they really have a shot? You know, I don't know.
Yeah, the CyanogenMod thing is interesting because like, a couple of years ago when Google said, no, you can't distribute our apps, their response was to say that they were going to make open source versions of all of the Google apps. And this was like 2-3 years ago, maybe, where it was like a doable project. You only had maybe Gmail and an app store and Google Talk and like a couple other like really basic apps. And once Google said, you can't distribute our apps, and then CyanogenMod said, okay, we'll make open source versions of them. And then Google said, no, wait, never mind. You can distribute our apps again. And it's like, if Google hadn't done that and CyanogenMod had started making open source versions, they maybe would have been able to keep up with Google. But I feel like Google gave them the Google apps back so that they could get more of a lead. Because like, now that it's more obvious, where it's like, whoa, Google has all of this control around Android, to catch up now is so difficult. There's like, this article would just be a big to-do list, and it's insane how many things you would have to replicate.
Even a company like Samsung, as you point out, a company like Samsung is probably unlikely to do what we've wondered over the past, you know, year, which is, oh, they didn't mention Android, are they gonna, you know, break out and do their own thing? They're probably not, because the services that Google offers, Samsung offers some services. They don't offer them all. And you would almost need a complete analog on the other side in order to make that work. I guess they could get there eventually, but does it make sense to do that?
Yeah, Amazon does an amazing job of that. We're like, that everything that Google gets developers to weave into their apps is just amazing. There's all of the location stuff now in 4.3, all the location stuff is closed sourced. If you want the most accurate, most power efficient, like just turning on the GPS and figuring out where you are, that's closed source now. And if, as an app developer, you're going to want to use that so users have better battery life and stuff like that, that's not going to work outside of the Play Store. Mm-hmm. Play games is going to lock you into the Play Store. So will the Maps API and pretty much anything else in Play Services. So like Samsung would have to become a huge software company, because you have to run all these servers and you have to keep up with all these APIs. Like Amazon has drop-in replacements for a lot of stuff, which is amazing. And they're the only people that can do it because they're like one of the world's biggest cloud services companies.
Well, yeah, exactly. Right. I mean, if you look at, you know, going back to my argument about, you know, not argument, but statement about corporate and capitalism and stuff like that, Amazon is a very large software company as well. And they yeah. have the resources to, you know, to compete or to, you know, step up and do what they have to, whereas Samsung or HTC or another one of the handset manufacturers aren't and won't be able to. So that's almost part of the deal. I mean, I get where this is coming from and I get the argument for it, but this is just Google being Google. This is just them doing the best they can in their business unit. Like I don't know. I mean, I'm torn because the heart goes with the open source argument and it's so great and it's wonderful. But I feel like you've untapped this like slap of reality, which is what's really going on. You know, like we're through the looking glass. It's like,
Who was it that quit Google a few months ago? JBQ, their open source guy for Android. Yeah, he quit a few months ago. I wonder if this is why.
Potentially part of it.
Could be, and that's speculation. But then again, yeah. I go back to devil's advocate. I'm not necessarily saying this is my opinion, but why is that bad? Like what says?
I never got into the whole good bad thing.
Right? Yeah, right. No, yeah,
no, you
I
did.
Know,
you
yeah,
did
yeah.
a good
Which
job.
Which is fair.
Of steering
yeah, yeah.
clear from that.
For users, it doesn't really matter.
If we had a world where all Android devices were Google devices or Google builds of Android, are we okay with that? Like, how important is it to us that other companies are building on Android or even distributing Android builds? Like, is that a novelty, a nice kind of thing to have, but we don't care? Or do we straight up just don't care?
Yeah, so funny that no one wants to give their opinion on that.
Yeah, I know. I've heard a lot of crickets like, going on there. I mean, we talk about Google's experience a lot on the show.
Yeah, no, we do. What were you going to say, Ron?
I use Android stuff to, you know, get a Gmail and for Hangouts and all that stuff. I mean, that's why I don't have a Windows phone, yep. don't have an iPhone, because all that stuff is worse. I mean, I'm here for the Google apps. So personally, it doesn't bother me one bit. But I mean, it would hurt stuff like CyanogenMod and stuff like that if they just totally closed down.
Yeah, I have mixed feelings about it too. But I completely agree. Why am I using Android? Because of the services, because of everything that Google has done to build that into a really strong, cohesive experience on my phone when I need it, wherever I happen to be. So, you know, I'm okay with whatever continues to keep that a strong experience. But yeah, it's speaking out of two mouths is perfect, right? Because, you know, the other part of me is like torn because I don't want to admit that, but it's how I feel.
I mean, they're not crossing the line like Apple did years ago, which now Apple has pulled back from, where they're saying, listen, you only have to, you know, you want SMS, you have to use Hangouts. You want Maps, you have to use Maps or whatever. Yeah. There are still other alternatives and other options, and the platform is open in that regard as long as you play within the Google Play rules and all that sort of thing. But, you know, so there's still those options, but like, I don't see anything wrong with excelling in a area and putting out the best applications you can. I mean, Gina, you just said a couple of minutes ago how improved everything is and how, as a developer, it's great to work with the Google Play Services framework. So, you know, until that changes, you know, like, is it the best platform that we can have for a phone? I think right now it is.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Well, I think what's interesting is if you consider what was the last good open source thing that Google released for Android. I would probably say it was the clock app that came in 4.2, but everything else, anytime there's been an improvement, it's been under the closed source umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
Except for camera, right? Camera got the OSP camera app did get a little updated. I think you said that was one of the few exceptions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the reality is that, you know, Android is more open than our other operating system choices. And by open, I mean more customizable and, yes, can be downloaded and modded and, you know, for developers to know what they're doing. But it's not as open as Google maybe says, you know,
well, because
or as we like to feel so warm and fuzzy about. You know, I think that it's important for us to have the reality check right. of this article and to know, you know, see what's going on and recognize it for what it is.
Yeah, and that point you made, Gina, is perfect because that is marketing. That is complete and total the marketing force behind it. Whereas, listen, there are different arguments you make for different audiences, and to the development community and to this whole thing, it's open source because yay rah, we're all in this together and we're going to do it. But when it comes down to it, it's the marketing to the consumers and trying to you know overtake iOS or even more so than they already have or whatever. To sell phones and to sell handsets. I mean, that's those two will always be at odds, and at some point they're gonna continue to diverge. And I mean, Ron's done a great point of showing just how wide that gap is right now.
Yeah.
But if you ask me, which audience will serve Android in the long term from a business standpoint, it's going to be the consumers. It's not going to be the developers and the open source community. It's just not.
So let's move on from one weighty topic, which it obviously is. I love this discussion. Let's keep it going because this next one's kind of intriguing as well. Gina, why don't you take it away?
Oh boy, this is going to be this is another big one.
Yeah.
So we have imagined on this show even a world where new technology companies and startups develop their mobile apps, if not for Android first, for iOS and Android at the same time at launch. But Steve Chaney, head of business at GroupMe and a technology blogger, said that this is a myth, that it is never going to happen. He said that a $1 million startup venture rounds, which is about where new startups start, that creating releasing their mobile apps for Android before iOS is never going to happen because the costs of developing for Android are 2 to 3 times more. The APIs aren't as good. Fragmentation creates lots of costs for testing. And that that startup companies are always going to release the beautiful app for iOS first, see if they get traction. 90% of them won't get traction, and then do Android later if they do a second round. And he cites a Facebook ad study from last week that got released that reported that Facebook ad profit is this $17.90 as in like 1,790% more ad revenue on iOS than Android. I don't even know where to start with this.
I knew that this was gonna
while you were
like bust a blood vessel
while you were reading that, Gina. I had the privilege of watching Ron's reaction this entire time. It's been great.
First off, Steve, what kind of phone you use?
Well,
no, I'm just saying. I mean, clearly, you know, like, I want to go raise $1 million and prove him wrong now and show that you can do this. Like, this is not impossible. I mean, the Facebook ad revenue thing, that's a whole nother thing. And whether Android customers spend money, that's something that's hotly debated and all this, I guess. But to say that it is impossible to do something there are hand gestures I want to make that I will not because we're on a respectable video network.
I think primarily what Steve was trying to make the point of is, like you said, Gina, you're a startup. You have $1 million of startup venture capital to kind of build upon. You have a choice. Like, you have limited capital to work with. Yep. So you have a choice. Do you develop for Android and iOS simultaneously? Maybe you don't have the cost to do that. So you have to pick a side. Which side do you pick? Do you pick Android, knowing, in kind of one of his points is using the Facebook ad, huge percentage, more on iOS than Android, that fact or that, report anyways, as a point here, but do you choose Android over iOS or do you choose iOS knowing, what he apparently knows, he talked to a lot of people, and it's a lot of circumstantial I've talked to a lot of people and this is what they say kind of discussion.
A lot of generalization going on here.
Yeah, a lot of generalization. Just basically saying, like, with that $1 million, what do you do? After you spent that $1 million and you create a good iOS app, then you come back with a second round and develop the Android. That's just what startups are going to do because it makes the most sense.
Yeah, and
his words. I just feel like this startup stuff, it's like, it's just path of least resistance. So, like, you have an idea, you're not sure if it's going to work. In terms of phone models, an iPhone, whatever version, is going to have way higher market share percentage in terms of just one phone model, then, you know, that's super easy to test on. You can go get one and plug it in, and, you know, there's only two screen sizes, and it'll be very easy. Whereas Android, it's like 10% split over 100 different models. You know, it's like 50-50 in America, but for the iOS side, you're maybe talking 3 or 4 devices. For the Android side, you're talking 100 devices. Yep. So it's just easier. It's not like a religious holy war thing. It's just easier.
I mean, it's just the definitive nature and say that it's a myth and it can never be done or whatever, which is just total crap. And it's that generalization. And you're right. I mean, I've worked at startups. We have a lot of, you know, Gina, you've got a startup. We all know exactly how it works when you've got to pick what is the best return on your investment and how can you spend your time and all that sort of stuff. But if we continue to ghettoize Android as the second act operating system, then true innovation and true opportunity around new apps and new different things will never happen. You know, and while we've got Google doing everything they can by putting it in the forefront, we've got some great developers, it's going to take the third-party developers to push the limits of what that platform can do. And a lot of that innovation happens at that startup level. And if you're ingraining, you know, up-and-coming entrepreneurs that, oh, you know, you can't take the risk of developing on Android, then it's going to stop it in its tracks. And that's crap because it's not true. I don't know. That's just, me. Sorry.
Yeah, that's true. It's
very passionate about this, and I would never say. I would never say, and I've never said only develop on Android and screw iOS. Like I think, like if a VC came and handed me a check for $1 million and said, "Okay, you've got a startup, you're going to do mobile apps. What's your plan?" My plan is simultaneous development, web, iOS, Android. That is the best bang for your buck, and you roll out features at a reasonable rate. You find a killer feature, you develop it, you refine it, you add more features, and you build from there, and you build the code based on all three of those things. I think all three of the things, that's where you find success. Facebook is a success on the desktop, on mobile, on tablets, or whatever. You look at all of those different things. There are very few applications that are solo success on mobile. And solo, you know, and I just, that's what I would do. So, So now get somebody, give me money.
I feel like mobile developers are way like whinier than developers used to be. I mean, device like homogenization, maybe that's a word, when you would have like, you know, you have like one iPhone. That's never been the case in development at any point in app development history other than the last 5 years.
Yep.
You know, on computers it was always 100,000 screen sizes and different
browsers,
different pieces of hardware and right, different browsers. And people didn't whine about it like they do this. I don't get it. It's like the new generation is lazy, and you people should get off my lawn.
And the thing is that, and not only are they lazy, but it's never been easier with the frameworks and all this sort of stuff. I mean, like I could go home and bang on a weekend and make an app. It'll be crap. But like with all the different things that would be there, like I can do it because you can pull from this library and from this thing, you know. And I'm not to undermine the work that developers do. It's very, very complicated. And it's very difficult. I've tried, but you know, whereas you know, however many years ago when you're writing from scratch with no frameworks and no libraries, so I don't know. Yeah, I agree with you, Ron, on that. I think it's definitely a lazy one. So
anyone want
Android Studio, the new IDE is like so cool now. You just get. It'll give you just like 1,000 little thumbnails of what your app will look like across all these different screen sizes and stuff just all at once. And it like live updates and all this other stuff. It's so neat.
Yeah. Sometimes on these opinion pieces, I wonder if they're based on outdated thinking too. Like certain things may have been true a year or two ago, like developing for Android is really hard based on the tools that we have. But have you seen the latest tool that was rolled out a few months ago and the improvement that actually brings to developing for the platform? Yet this argument might be based on knowledge prior to that. Real quick before we move on, because there's so much we could talk about here. Facebook ad profit set 1,790% more on iOS than on Android. Anyone want to venture why that might even possibly be true? Is it quality of app?
Are there even ads?
I do have ad block on this right now, so I'm part of the problem.
Are there even ads on the Android app?
See, that's what I'm talking about. I don't think there are any ads with my eyes.
Wait, no, that's the thing. It seems like such an insanely high number. It doesn't seem possible. Like, it seems like there has to be a technical reason, you know, or an outside reason for this, right?
I will give the fanboy reaction and say that Android users are more technical and therefore less likely to click on ads, whereas your mom who uses the iPhone would click on ads more.
Sure.
I will go less technical and go more surface. I don't think I've ever seen ad on Facebook on Android ever.
Yeah, I have. They do a good job of cleverly making it look like it's just another item in your feed. But to get back to your point, Ron A. So if that's the case, if Android users are more technically adept, then why would an advertiser want to advertise on Android if we're just going to block it or not look at it or not click on it? Yeah. That becomes the catch-22, right?
Not my department.
Yeah, no, I know. It's kind of a rhetorical question. But, I mean, from that perspective, then I understand part of the arguments against it, where it's like, okay, that may be true, but then you kind of understand why a $1 million startup might choose iOS over Android.
Oh, you know, from a revenue standpoint, yeah. But
absolutely, revenue is kind of what it's all about.
Yes.
There you go.
Right, but you can say that market share, you're going to reach a lot more people if you go on Android, number one.
Yeah, yep, fair enough.
And you know, and the testing argument is true. It is, you do have to test across more devices, but I maintain an iOS app and an Android app actively, and I can tell you the developer tools for the Android app are by far way, way, way better. You get, like detailed crash reports. You can respond to your customers in the comments, in public. You get, recommendation. I mean, there's just, you get way, way, way more. So I actually think that the developer tools that Google offers Android developers offset the testing burden that the fragmentation, you know, the multi-device issue presents.
Right.
There's also the issue, and I've had many arguments about this in my professional days, about people spending more money on iOS than they do on Android, and we forget that iOS has had how many year head start?
So
that's the thing, and there's a certain amount of training and stuff like that. And if you look at the revenue generated by Android apps and the Google Play Store, it is trending upwards because now it is reaching that critical mass and people are realizing it. And it's the whole has to do with the economics of applications and what we expect for free versus paid and in-app. You know, because let's be honest, Google did a lot of work on the in-app purchasing environment. It wasn't perfect when it rolled out. And now it's a lot more seamless, a lot more easier.
Sure.
Lord knows it's, you know, those games, you know, where you spend 99 cents to get more stuff or whatever. Here, that's popular.
I sound so old saying
that. Yeah.
But there are hula hoops and there are Pac-Man.
Get off my lawn.
So, Ron, speaking of iOS.
Well, yeah, it's funny that this comes up because then, sure enough, we're praising Google Hangouts. And recently, Google Hangouts had a major update on iOS. Where they had lots of new features and new wonderful things. And we're all kind of sitting here going, hey, what about us? So Vic Gundotra assured everyone that, you know, don't worry, we have a massive investment in Android. I promise you'll be happy soon. Don't get upset because we show some love to Google users who use iOS. There are a lot of them, and they are good people. Smiley face. But basically, a lot of those features are like calling phone numbers from Hangouts free to the U.S. and Canada, make and receive calls via Google Voice in Hangouts, and animated GIF support, which are important features as well. So we can only assume those are coming to Hangouts on Android shortly. And it's funny because there's Google playing both sides.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, Google has to play. They have to play both sides.
Yeah. So.
Well, that's Hangouts. What is it on iOS? Hangouts 1.3 and Android is on 1.2. And 1.3 Hangouts leaked to Android Police a bit ago. And that was the one that had SMS included and stuff like that. So we're getting all of that, and it's out there in testing. They just need to, they're just going to, you know, roll it out as the 4.4 brick whenever that launches.
Next year at this point.
Yeah. No, it's perpetually a week away.
Yes,
it's always.
And we always know exactly when it is, don't we? Mm-hmm. Until we don't, and then we come up with a new date. And real quick here, Google, this was kind of news that I read briefly right before the show. Don't play breaking news. We don't need it. FlexiCore, the company, an Android app. They're behind an Android app called Droid Booster, which you may or may not have heard about. Hasn't been updated
Scandiest
in a couple
name
of years.
Ever.
It's basically, they claim to make Android devices run up to 10 times faster, or at least they did when they were actively developing this app a couple of years ago. It was bought for $23.1 million by Google. So apparently Google thinks they have something valuable for speeding up Android. I don't know. What do you think about this, Ron? Because you actually wrote up the article on Ars about this.
I thought this was a scam when I first heard about it. Thought it was a scam. I feel like Google just got ripped off. I don't know. They bought them, so I guess this works.
Listen,
it just seems
the due diligence has got to have happened here. It's like they must have gotten under the hood.
Right? It's just such a ridiculous claim. I don't know. But the guy who founded the company used to do research and development for Texas Instruments, and like they're part of the ARM like processor. They have like a profile on their on ARM's website. So it seems like it works, but all of their demonstration stuff, all their website stuff is from 2 years ago. And for some reason, they completely shut down. So, like, the 10x claim was from 2 years ago. The question is, how many optimizations have been made since then? How much of that stuff that they were doing to Froyo is still applicable to, like, KitKat? We don't know, but apparently Google thinks they're smart because they paid millions and millions of dollars for it.
No kidding. Maybe they've cracked the code to the secret of life. I don't know.
Yeah.
Let's hope so, because my phone is slow. Right. Let's take a break and thank our sponsor, Pay Some Bills. You okay there, Chad?
You just dropped my new phone.
I think Chad just woke up. That's what that was. This episode of All About Android is brought to you by 99 Designs. We love 99 Designs. They connect people like you who might be looking for great graphic design. And, you know, maybe you're not a great graphic designer. There's a community at 99 Designs of more than 225,000 graphic designers from all over the world. So you can get in touch with these people, these talented people, and basically get them to do your work for you, essentially. Whether you need a new logo, mobile app, business card, t-shirt, any kind of graphic design, you're going to find the right designer for your project by going to 99 Designs. Here's how it works. You tell 99 Designs what you need. Dozens of designers from their community are going to submit designs created just for you based on what you tell them, what you're looking for, and they'll give you a bunch of options to pick from. You give the designers your feedback to help them refine their designs, and then ultimately you're going to select and pay for your favorite from the list. Just a really great way to kind of crowdsource your project and pick the very best one. Very effective. Are you developing an Android app? Maybe you're thinking of an Android app and, you know, it's a fantastic idea, but you have no idea where to get started for the graphical elements, the icons, the buttons, or even just the design of your app in general, to your mobile app. You can get that designed at 99 Designs. I mean, Chad's showing off a bunch of amazing app designs that are featured on 99 Designs. It's really, really great. You just let them know, let the designers know what your app is, kind of what you're looking for, and let them do the work, check back later. And it's like you have a stocking full of graphic designs. It's Christmas every day at 99 Designs. You can start your next graphic design project for as low as $199. Visit 99designs.com/AAA. Doing that, you are going to get a $99 power pack of services for free. So you want to make sure and let them know that you got this from All About Android, 99designs.com/AAA. A power pack gives you more designer time and attention. 99 Designs will bold, highlight, and feature your design project in 99 Designs Marketplace, and you're going to get nearly twice as many designs that way as well. Visit 99designs.com/AAA to check it out for yourself, and we thank 99 Designs for their support of All About Android. Get people working for you. Makes sense.
They're great.
Yeah.
Love that. I'm just looking for a reason to use them.
I know.
Yeah.
It's like I want to get some of the design.
Listen, if you were to give me $1 million for my app, I would outsource the 99 Designs.
Do you need a new avatar? You've been using the blue, white, and red circle thing for a really long time. Maybe you need a new avatar for your Twitter
and
Google Plus.
That's like my identity, man.
There you go. I know. But refresh.
I refreshed it when I left Rev3, so that was 2010.
Give that identity a mohawk.
Ooh.
There you go. That's all I'm saying.
There you go. All right.
Let's jump into hardware.
I feel like you just challenged me now to redesign my avatar.
I think we need someone to design a new hardware bumper.
Yeah.
I agree.
That was not just the Zoom. That was the Zoom prototype that like Andy Rubin showed off once.
Oh, yeah. No, those drops have been there since before this show was really a show.
Those are old drops.
Yeah, those are alpha episode drops from like 2.5, almost 3 years ago. So good eye, by the way.
Well, wait till we get to that arena. The arena drop is the best. All right,
Gina, what's Lenovo have for us?
Lenovo is introducing the A10. This is its first Android-powered convertible laptop. So check this out. This is a 10.1-inch notebook with a fold-back touchscreen display. So it's tablet mode, and I guess you would say netbook mode or laptop mode. 1366 by 768 display, 1.6 gigahertz quad-core Cortex processor, 2 gigabytes RAM, 32 gigs of storage, micro SD slot, VGA webcam, USB 2.0 ports, two of them, HDMI out, and that's running Android 4.2 Jelly Bean. No official pricing yet. Rumors peg it at about $340. So it's basically, yeah, Android-powered netbook / tablet, full-back touchscreen. Interesting, yeah. I guess. Yeah. I don't know. I was kind of mad about this.
Yeah, you know, I was interested in this slightly when I put it in the doc. Hearing you read it, I was like, why did I put this in there? I have no idea.
Jason gave me the Android-powered netbook story.
I know. Where to go.
Again.
I love the gimmick hardware. It's the best.
I really wanted to see a photo of it in fold-back mode, but Engadget, only had it in tablet, in laptop mode.
Is it like a yoga where it like folds all the way back?
It folds in both directions. Yeah, so that when it folds back, it's like a stand.
Like the Surface?
Yeah. Like a stand for you. Yeah, it's kind of like a transformer, but it's not also a tablet that you can pull out and use, right?
Right, yeah, because you just got it. Well, you can fold it back. And
Okay, not that interesting. Ron,
what
you got?
What's a little more interesting is that either someone's getting fired at Google over the Nexus 5, or they're being very clever in how they're leaking information, because last week the Nexus 5 surprisingly appeared on the Google Play Store. There was photos. There was a price, $349 for a black Nexus 5 with 16 gig of memory, with the caption, "Capture the everyday and the epic in this fresh new ways," starting at $349. It was up long enough for people to grab high res images of the phone, and then it was taken down. There was no reference to a ship date or a release date, but it was on the Google Play Store. Why did they do that?
That is so pretty. I want that. The capture thing is interesting, that they said, what, capture the everyday and
capture the everyday and the epic. Yeah,
sure, because that camera lens is so weird. I still have yet to wrap my mind around what exactly is going on there. It's like a normal camera module and then a humongous lens. Yep. It's just a big giant, like we've seen leaked pictures, and that circle is one big giant disc. Yep. And it's like, why? And what is that thing around the camera lens? Like, what is going on there? Are they just being weird?
Right.
Yeah, no, I guess.
Do you have your Nexus 7 here? Is it the new Nexus 7 or is it the old one?
Oh, okay. Nexus 7, yeah.
I think the new Nexus 7 has a camera.
He's got one.
Thing that's similar, does it? Is it similar? Or?
Yeah.
It's smaller, though. Yeah.
I just want it to be a great friggin' camera. I want to stop saying, you know, the iPhone, because the iPhone has a great camera. Someone's got to crack the camera thing,
I was at dinner Friday night, and I was with a friend of mine who actually works at Revision 3, who has been bouncing between Android and iOS, and had the new phone. And had the new phone and was running iOS 7, and we're at this epic meal, and we're taking pictures of our food, as we often do. And as I'm taking pictures, he was just laughing. I'm like, what? He's like, oh, silly Android camera. And then we were comparing the photos we were taking, and I'll give him credit. The iPhone was a better photo. So
Takes really good photos. Yeah.
There was the MEMS camera rumor that was circulating a while back, the micro-electro-mechanical system camera technology that was rumored to be part of the Nexus. But that on right around the 9th, I think, was Oppo ended up basically saying, no, that has nothing to do with the Nexus. It's us. I don't know, but kind of makes sense given that.
What's going on.
But can we go back to why it was on the Google Play Store?
somebody messed up.
It was just a bad push. Yeah, like somebody. Do we really think like that?
It's getting weird. Come on, it happened to accidentally be in the video.
It's incredibly. This is an incredibly leaky ship.
This is an incredibly leaky ship, or a well-crafted campaign. That's my theory now.
I don't know. That totally smells like somebody merged changes in some branch and changed the Play Store and it got pushed accidentally
along
with other stuff.
But how many times has this happened with one product launch?
It's happened too much.
It's
happened so much that it's like anyone in a boardroom is like, okay, we'll leak this and this and this. And that's why I think that they're really leaking it because it's,
Chad's with me.
No one would have I'm against you. I don't think it's real. I think it's happened so much, no one would approve that. There's too many leaks.
They think it's fake. I think there are too many leaks for this to be coincidence.
Accidental.
All right, Ron versus Ron. Ron, A, yep. Go.
Wait, I think the smoking gun for this purposeful leak stuff, which I'm starting to think it is on purpose, but the Kit Kat video was however many months ago, and that was a dude standing like full frame with his Nexus phone, and it said Nexus on the back.
Yep.
That was an intentional leak.
That was intentional.
From then on, the stuff we saw in the FCC did not have a final back and did not say Nexus on the back. So the stuff that came from Google just happened to be a refined, finished-looking phone, and the stuff that was not from Google was like an unfinished phone. So why did they have this super early finished phone in their supposedly accidental leak? Like, if it was really an accident, it would have been like an ugly unfinished one.
Yeah, fair enough. Good point. That one, I did get the impression that it was on purpose. This one feels like it was probably a mistake, but you know what? We did that other one on purpose, so whatever. No one's going to really care a whole lot. They already know everything about the phone anyway, so... So it's probably a combination of both, I guess, is what I'm saying.
It's just too fishy. It's too fishy in my...
Every Android blog wrote a story. So whether or not it was on purpose, it was successful.
Yes. Yep. Yes, that's it's working.
So you're telling me that Google aren't just a bunch of hapless geeks, that they might actually be like evil marketing people, like twisting their mustaches and thinking about ways to bait? That's it, Ron. That's what you're saying.
I don't know. A lot of smart people there, a lot of money. They're having people come on going, how can we make a big launch with this? We've been talking about it for how long now? Since August? September?
Yeah. I mean, those employees, they're emboldened. $1,000 stock price.
It's crazy.
It's crazy that the Play Store listing is done. I feel like that should be like last when you write the ad copy and have like pretty press pictures and stuff. It's like, so what is taking so long? Where is my invite? Still here.
Exactly. I don't want an invite. I just want the device. Just give me the device, Google. Send it to me. Give it to me right now, please. Yes, I can't wait to leave Verizon for that device. Let's see here. So Samsung, this was kind of interesting, started slapping stickers on boxes of the S3 and the Note 3, stating that SIM cards for other regions were not going to work on the device inside. Then Samsung stated that it only actually applied to initial activation because people, of course, flip their lid about this. Yep. Travelers in particular love to go to a different location, swap in a SIM, and
that's the great advantage of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's a big feature. Many users then reported that they couldn't use SIMs at all from other regions. It didn't matter whether you were just activating it in a different region, which I could kind of understand Samsung wanting to control, to say, no, you can't buy that over there and then bring it into this unsupported country or whatever and activate it there.
Right.
But Samsung addressed the complaints, basically saying that region locking wasn't going away. But they would evaluate how to make it better, a more friendlier procedure for consumers. I'm just kind of wondering, why region lock like this? Like, why at all? It's just money, right?
It's got to be. Yeah. I don't understand why you would do that.
Yeah. It just seems anti-consumer to do that. But okay. Anyone feel anything different or... Is that about all there is to say?
That's it. No.
Okay.
I got nothing.
Excellent. We had all apps. Of those. Yeah, we had all of those hotly discussed topics, and this was today.
This is an exhausting episode. That's all I have to say.
We haven't even got to the arena yet.
I know.
Oh boy, let's move to apps.
All right, so the hotly anticipated app release from BlackBerry BBM.
Man,
you laugh, but those BlackBerry users love their BBM. So BlackBerry felt the need to do a how-to video on how to use BBM, which is just kind of funny in its own right. Kind of a little video there showing on how to use the BlackBerry Messenger application. I don't even know what to make of it.
Yeah, less the story, more just
that it exists.
Those may be the biggest hands I've ever seen.
Those are enormous hands.
Yeah.
But what's interesting about this release, though, is that the simultaneous release of BBM for iPhone and Android saw 10 million downloads within 24 hours. So here we are snickering and making fun of BlackBerry and BBM, yet 10 million people in 24 hours downloaded it.
And we're not allowed to use the app.
Yeah,
I know. That's what I'm talking about. I'm like, what is going on here, BlackBerry? After all of this waiting, it finally comes, and yet I had so many problems just trying to get the app, just trying to get to the point where I was on the list, like creating a new account and everything. I posted on Google Plus about it, and someone was like, wah, you know, maybe it's user error. But I'm telling you, every step of the way, there was a roadblock. Like, stupid little things, and I know this is nitpicking. I fully realize it, but this on top of everything, like the password field automatically capitalizes at the start. So you have to, hit the...
Oh, jeez.
That was just like one thing. The confirmation email never came, so I had to do it the next day. It was like, I'm trying too hard to operate this app that I know BlackBerry wants me to operate, me and everybody else. They got a lot of downloads. Some people are saying that maybe the ratings in the Play Store are kind of fluffed up because it's getting really good ratings, but a lot of them are very similar. So weird stuff going on here.
Wackiness.
Yeah, Android Police has this whole astroturfing thing. Wow, all the messages are pretty similar. It's like, thank you so much, BlackBerry team. I was waiting for this app forever. Blah, blah, blah. That's funny. It's so typical BlackBerry, though. Like, I was all ready to, like, do a hands-on of this app and, like, tear it apart probably because it'll probably suck. But, like, I couldn't even use it. So, in a week or so, I'm going to get an invite, and I'm not even going to care. I'm just going to trash it because it's going to be like last week's news. If you just let me use the thing, I would have written an article about it. But, like,
yes.
I'm over it now.
they're making it so hard for – you're making it hard for me to like you, BlackBerry. And I want to at least give BBM a chance because I care, BlackBerry. I do. you were strong. Now you're not.
So difficult. Even tech reporters can't use it.
I know. I realized at a certain point I don't care enough to continue doing
cross-platform launch, right? iPhone and Android.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, there you go. Yep.
Yep.
So
if BlackBerry can do that. All right. So real quick here, Netflix finally got a revision if you've used the Netflix app, which I've unfortunately used the old version of the app many, many times. Man, it was a slow beast. they rewrote the app from what I understand, and I mean, it just works really smoothly. The UI is just much better. Ultimately, I just wanted to call it out because it's about time. It's one of those app updates that you've been waiting around forever for, and finally, it's totally usable. So go Netflix. I'm bummed to not see multi-user support in there, though, because that seems to be their big kick these days and seems ideal for a mobile app to have multi-user support for the household. So get on that,
please. Yeah,
that's about all there is on that. I'm assuming. Gina, what you got?
The Play Store is getting some updates. The new Play Store app update includes slide-out navigation with a little hamburger on the side there. And, of course, Android Police always there with an informative APK teardown, which reveals a ton of icons related to the as-yet-unannounced app Newsstand. So it looks like this app Newsstand is going to soon replace Play and Play Magazines. And, in fact, speaking of Newsstands, Google has sent out invites to a Google Play event for this Thursday, so the 24th. For a while, people were speculating this is going to be the Nexus 5. This is going to be the hardware announcement. Doesn't sound like it's going to be that at all. It sounds like it's just going to be about Play Store. So it looks like perhaps Newsstand is going to launch on Thursday. So sorry, guys, no Nexus 5. It looks like the icons are going to be purple.
Yeah,
based on the APK teardown.
The Google Play News thing has been in development like forever. Like I think a year ago, maybe we found stuff on the Play Store website for Google Play News, and then everything was yellow, and it was going to be a different section. But now I guess they're just going to like absorb the whole magazine section and turn it into newspaper stuff too. So that'll be cool, I guess.
So why Google are you trolling us like this? Event on Thursday, okay, newsstand, great. I'm sure you're excited about it, and it's the kind of cool thing that you've been working all this time on. But Nexus 5, come on!
Maybe at the newsstand,
totally on purpose.
Maybe at the newsstand announcement, there'll be some photo of the newsstand on a Nexus 5, and they'll be like, "Oh wait, that wasn't supposed to be there."
Yeah, so, right.
Pull the video.
I'm just saying, I wouldn't be surprised
if that happens. You called it wrong.
Yeah, I know. So another update to Google Music actually happened. For those of you who are using Google Play Music like I do every day, might have opened up your desktop app or your mobile app and saw the new little I'm Feeling Lucky radio icon, a little bit of dice, as we see a merging of the classic I'm Feeling Lucky Google search button into the Google Play Music. Basically, Google Play Music has had suggested radio stations, kind of Pandora-esque, based off bands or specific songs. When you load up Google Play, say, play this radio, you know, give me Morrissey radio or whatever. But now you hit the I'm Feeling Lucky radio, and it will just give you a radio station based off your listening preferences and your listening history, which is kind of interesting. I'm not a fan of it personally because I don't like when they give me songs I don't want to hear. You know, but it's pretty cool. I don't know. What did you think of it, Jason? Did you like it?
I feel the same way. Like pushing a button and just getting totally random.
Yeah. And the thing is,
I guess that, when I'm lazy, but
I mean,
the thing is,
it's based off my listening preferences, but they're putting in bands that I definitely don't want to hear. And I know I can just skip them. I'm being lazy. But this actually opens the door to some of my criticisms of Google Play Music, which is they suggest these radio stations based off bands in your mm-hmm. But I don't want them. Like, there's no way to swipe them to get rid of them or to say go away or stop suggesting this or, like, please, just because I have one Johnny Mathis Christmas song doesn't mean I want a suggested radio station on Johnny Mathis. Like, there need to be more personalization controls, and maybe there are and I just haven't found them or played with them yet, but it looks like they're going in this in that direction, at least in some, you know, playing up the streaming radio kind of aspect of it. So kind of neat, mm-hmm. nonetheless. And then finally, also, there was an update, all these updates, to the Google Maps engine, Android app that allows you to view custom maps that were created with Maps Engine, which is really kind of neat, which is kind of a user-generated content based on the Maps Engine. So, for example, you know, NASA's got a light map, and the World Bank has a GDP growth rate map. So as organizations and users are using the Maps Engine, we can now view them on the Android app, which is pretty cool. So I like those custom maps.
Cool.
It used to be part of Google Earth. There was a thing in the settings where you could load Google Map Engine stuff.
Yeah.
So I don't really get the separate app thing, but fine, whatever. Mm-hmm. Now there's three mapping applications. So.
Yay. <Yeah. laughs> How many
really?
More do we need?
What are the three? Maps?
Maps, Earth, and Map Engine.
Oh, right. Maps, Earth, and right. Yeah. Okay. And it used to be, navigation used to be its own icon, and that is no longer.
Now it's folded just, into maps.
It's folded,
it's
into,
folded
maps,
into maps,
yeah.
Right.
It had an icon, but it was still
it was
Google.
Just maps.
Yeah.
Maps. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm getting confused already now. Awesome.
Yeah. Great. More splintering.
Yay, fraction.
All right. Fragmentation. Well, apps. Let's do the arena. This is going
to
be fun.
Let's go into the arena.
Yeah.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
Last week, four apps in the arena, and it looks like first place was Cronus Home and Lock Screen Widget.
Yes.
Boom. Gina, triumphant nice. Lead at 41%.
That's
good
a close
job.
Race there.
While Ron's out, I gotta, you know, I gotta strike.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't have to worry about me. Come on.
Sorry, Jason.
Let's be honest.
Well, we'll see. I honestly think today's arena is jam-packed with awesomeness. I always think that, but today's particularly good. As far as last week, second place, Aviate at 24%. Ticket to Ride, third place at 17%. And Pebble Canvas, 17%. Really far back there. Kind of surprised about that. All right. So, Ron, you've been out for the last couple of weeks. So, as your punishment, you go first.
All right. That's fair. I'll take the punishment. So, ironically, I've chosen an app from a startup that I've been tracking that released their iOS app first, and now they finally released their Android app. So, hey, what are you going to do?
That ain't right.
Yeah. So Circa is a startup that is actually based here in San Francisco, and I know a couple of people that have been, you know, tracking it and talking about it, and it's been really kind of an interesting approach to news. And basically what the application is it's a news reader for your phone or tablet. And it's not just a collection of feeds or anything like that. Rather, there's a curation element to it, and it's a different way to absorb news, less so from this news article was posted on USA Today, go read it. Rather, it approaches what's happening in the news from a topic standpoint, and then they've got people on their side who are feeding the app content, who are curating it, pulling from different sources, and giving you a picture of the news storyline. Okay, so I know it sounds kind of weird. Let me show it to you. I'll dive right in here. So here we are. We got the app. It is optimized for tablet. So if you have a tablet, if you are going to, you know, if you want to go hard, you know, landscape, it readjusts pretty nicely. I'm going to stay in the portrait mode because I want to kind of – this is very similar to the phone experience. When you load it up, it's got a great little rundown. You kind of get one story that's kind of the highlight story of at the moment, and then a rundown of different stories. And you'll notice that they are topics. So, for example, you know, the headline here is new iPads headline Apple's October 22nd event. But then it also pulls up, and if I hit the hamburger button here, I can choose what I want to see. So they've got top stories, they've got United States, and then they've got categories like politics, world, technology, and science and health. So if I switch over to just, you know, to world, it will give me world news. You know, and here's China's human rights record comes under scrutiny at a UN panel. KFC Taco Bell owners see promise in India. So interesting news from all around. If I tap through to one story, what happens is that it dives into that story and then it gives me kind of like a top line, you know, gives you the photo and kind of a top line kind of description. But then what you do is you see these little cards, which are little snippets of different stories that are really going to give you the essence of what the story is. So let me go to a story that's actually more relevant to our world. here, I'm going to go to a story that I'm actually following, which was the BART strike ends. So last night when I was prepping for the show, I saw, oh, the BART strike ended. Thank God. And so here I've got, you know, the first kind of thing says the strike ended after a tentative agreement was reached on October 21st. Limited train service will resume on 4 a.m. on October 22nd. Then there's a quote here, and it's basically all different information from different stories. And if I hit this little I button up top here, it gives me the list of all the citations. So if you want to know where they're pulling the information from, you know, this first one came from the BART website. Then the next one came from ABC's website. The next one came from a local CBS station in San Francisco. Next one from the San Francisco Chronicle, you know, all the way down. So what they're doing is they're capturing all these different news sources and just giving you a very bite-sizable approach to the news of the segments of the essential information that you want to take away from it. Once you get through their little bite-sized bits of the story, it will suggest other stories. So, for example, there's information about a Bay Area bike share and, you know, kind of related articles. And then what you can do is up here, you can choose to follow the story or not follow the story. Right now I'm following it, so I quickly unfollowed it, but I'm going to say to follow it. And what it will do is it will now keep track of the stories you're following and give you alerts or give you information when stuff is happening about that story. Of course, it's got the share stuff, so you can go post it on Twitter and all that fun stuff. I hit the share, and it's going to pull up the – you know, I can share it to the various different applications. Notice it's not – you know, it's using its own little kind of custom kind of share menu, which is cool. If I go into the settings, you can see here you can control – you control the content, so you can say do you want to show graphic content or not? That's not actually nudity. It's actually graphics or text, so keep that in mind. You can set what you want your default home section to be, whether you want it to be just the stories I'm following or top stories or one of their other categories. You can enable the smooth scrolling. You can set in how often you want it to download stories in the background. But then also on the notifications, you could say whether you want to get notifications for stories you follow, whether you want to get breaking news updates, which is right up our alley. They will give you notifications for breaking news as it's happening. I don't know how they're setting that threshold for breaking news, but but I guess if, God forbid, something disastrous happens, they'll send you an alert.
When you open that, does it play the Kit Kat song?
It does not play the Kit Kat song, no, unfortunately. So if Chad was good, he would have had it queued up. But so.
New TriCaster woes. It's okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. But all in all, as somebody who does not like news and does not like keeping up on news and does not like, you know, really being informed, I kind of rely a lot on Twitter and a lot of my friends and stuff like that to kind of keep me informed as to what's going on. I found Circa is doing that in a more educated manner. It's giving me just the bits of information about topics that I need to know and an easy way to digest it and an easy way to grab it, and also makes it really easy to follow the stories that you actually care about. I would like to see more categories. I would like to see a sports category. I would like to see an entertainment category, but they're a growing startup and they're going from where they need to go. It's a nice, elegant interface, and I dig it. I've been using it on my phone and my tablet. Also, when you go to portrait mode, the story loads, or whatever, I can never remember. The story on the left loads up on the right, so that's kind of your interface there. So if I change that, it will see does that. So so Circa News, it's free. Give it a shot. If you're a news junkie, you might dig it. It's a different approach to reporting the news.
Awesome. So, Circa News. Heard a lot about that when it finally launched on Android.
Yeah, and then it launched on iOS, and I was like, why did you do that? Why?
Yeah. There you go. It's Circa News. Check it out. So let's see here. I think that means I'm next. I'm going to do an app. It's pretty quick hit here. And, Chad, I'm sorry to switch things up, but MHL actually isn't going to work for this app, so I'll just use my over-the-shoulder. Hopefully that works for you. My app is called Switcher, and it basically started off as an app, listed in XDA, and it recently went to the Play Store. Essentially what it is it's a way to kind of bring your multitasking bar out of the little, window down in the corner that you tap and make it an action instead. So what I'll show here, let's see here. Oh, yay, there we go. So I have it right now set up for this corner of my screen. If I go up there, I feel a little click, and it allows me to kind of switch between. And it's actually pretty fast. It picks it up pretty quickly. You could hit down to the bottom. Here, let me give this. I just launched YouTube. Yay. So it's basically a switcher that's always active, and it's always over there. It's just another way to kind of get access to that.
The reflections.
One thing that I would say for the developer, I'm sure they're going to get there, is sometimes the icons aren't as high res as they could be. Like this, for example, is the Google search icon, and it looks a little fuzzier than you're getting from the settings for Switcher. But, maybe they're pulling that in a strange way, and that'll get fixed. But I like where it's headed. You can set it up so that, the position, do you want it on the right edge or the left edge? And so right now I have it over there, obviously. You can edit the margins if you want to make it even deeper. Let me see if I can get the contrast there. I'm going to have to turn down my brightness. But you could make this panel really large, really small, edit the sensitivity on all that. And you can also add apps to a whitelist or a blacklist if you want to make sure that things don't appear in that list. And, it's kind of straightforward for the most part. But I just kind of like it as an alternative. Sometimes loading this takes a while, and I've found that with Switcher, it's pretty darn quick, regardless of what I happen to be doing at that particular point. So, if you like to tweak things and change things up a little bit, there's a free version, so you can kind of check it out and try it out for yourself. And there's a pay version for $1.99. And, it's just an easy new way of getting multitasking on your phone and kind of switching between. They like to call it as like the alt tab or control tab to kind of tab between your open apps instead of opening up the multitask and swiping through and finding the screenshot and clicking it. It's literally you just put your finger down, select, and let go, and it takes you right over. So pretty straightforward.
I was Switcher. This close to making that my app this week.
Yeah,
I was
see.
This close. It's literally on my tablet. I can prove it to you. I was looking at it, and I was going to do it. So good call. That's a good app.
Yeah, I pulled that right from your playbook.
You did.
All right, there you go. Switcher. And that, by the way, it's Switcher with no E. So it's
the classic Web 2.0 spelling.
Switcher. There you go. All right, Ron, your app is fantastic. Ron. So I'll go ahead and show it off. You go ahead and talk about it.
This is Touch Control, which will let you, you need to have a rooted device, but it will basically let you double tap on your Nexus device and the screen will turn on. So like it's off and you just kind of grab it, tap on the screen twice.
Oh, I think I have it on swipe, actually.
Oh, you have it on swipe. Okay, yeah, fine. Well, I like double tap. That's super cool. But like you, like this is great for a tablet. You can just pick it up. You don't have to like fiddle for a power button or anything. You just grab it, tap on the screen or swipe or whatever, and it will turn on. So, you know, I use my Nexus 7 all the time, like upside down, and I don't even notice because I don't have to look for buttons anymore. The only problem is device compatibility. You need to have a Galaxy Nexus, Nexus 4, or new Nexus 7. That is it. And you need to be rooted. So I will probably lose the App Arena for that reason, but I will at least lose with style because That's right. My app requires root and replaces your kernel. So.
It does replace your kernel. Yes. When I installed it, I was surprised to see that. I was like, you know what? Go for it. It's my Galaxy Nexus. This thing's been through war for me. So
they built that feature into like the LG G2 and some Nokia Windows phone thing. And every time I play with it, it changes the way you use your device. I mean, the power button is the first thing you hit when you pick up a device. And a lot of times you have to hunt for it, especially on a tablet. And you just don't have to now. You just tap on the screen and it wakes up.
Yep. Awesome. I love it. It turns out the reason that I have swipe is because I have the free version. So if I pay for it, then I can get the tap. So I'm going to do that because I love being able to do that. And, well, now I have the new kernel, so I should do that.
And now every device from now on that does not support this is ruined for you. Just a heads up.
Awesome. I love it. So that's cool. So that is Touch Control. There's a free version as well as a $1.60 pay version that gives you access to the double tapping. And also, I think in that pay version, Start on Boot is activated as well, which you probably
want. There's like media controls too. You can like set up some weird gesture that'll like make songs advance. And I don't know. I don't mess with that part though.
Oh, okay.
I just want my phone to turn on.
Awesome. Right on. Touch Control. Search that out. Okay, and Gina, your app is very intriguing. I actually used it a couple of times today after I installed it. I totally had use for it, so I'm stoked on this.
Glad to hear that. All right, so my app pick this week is called Pushbullet. Pushbullet, and you can actually get started by going to pushbullet.com. What it does is it's a really, really simple app, but it does it really well, and it's true. The use becomes immediately apparent once you try it. Pushbullet lets you push data from your desktop to your Android device. So when I say data, you can push a list, you can push a link, you can push an address, or you can push any file. So when you sign up for Pushbullet, you download the app to your Android device and you fire it up, and then you go to pushbullet.com and you create an account there. It's super easy. Sign in with Google. You don't have to create a whole new account. Just sign in with Google in the app and sign in with Google at the website. And you can start pushing something to your device. So say you push, let's see, Jason's there logged into the website. And then
I'm going to go ahead and push the All About Android Reddit page at twitaaa.reddit.com.
Perfect. Yeah, so there's a Chrome extension too. So you can just click on... on the Chrome extension and say, push this to my phone. It'll autofill it as a link, right? Mm-hmm. Push it, and then it shows up on your phone.
It just showed up at the top there.
And if Pushbullet isn't running, it shows up in your notification shade. This is 4.0 and above, so it's rich notifications, rich pull-down notifications, which is really, really nice. And when you tap on the notification, it's contextual, right? So if you've pushed an address, which I do this all the time, I look up a place I need to go, and then I leave... and I get in the car and I'm like, oh, I have to search this place again. I just had the address on my desktop. You can push an address to your phone. And then when you tap on the notification in your shade, it automatically launches maps, which makes a lot of sense. If you push a file, like I pushed a text file and then it said, which one, what do you want to open this with? And I opened it up with Draft, which is my favorite, text editor on Android. So it's really fast. It's really simple. You can also, once you're signed into the Pushbullet website, you can see all the devices that you've enabled Pushbullet on. You can even share a device. So I can say, I want my wife to be able to send me push notifications to my phone. So I'm going to actually share access to my phone with her, and she can send me something that way.
That's cool.
Yeah, which is really nice. So you'll see there, Jason has enabled the Chrome extension and his Galaxy Nexus. And you could add any number of devices and I think any number of browsers as well. You get the history of all the things that you pushed, which you can also see on your phone when you launch the app. And, you know, it's just really well designed, well done, just really nicely implemented. And it happens to be an Android-only app as well. So there you go. I really like how it takes advantage of, you know, Android 4.0's rich notification shade. It does a really nice job with that. And it uses Google Sign-In, too, which makes it super simple to sign in and get started with it. So, yeah, there it is, Pushbullet, and it is free.
It's almost like where Chrome to phone stopped. Like Chrome to phone was great because they it could do links and things like that. But then they just stopped they just stopped supporting it. Mm-hmm. but like the fact that this can push files is that's and multiple devices and stuff like that. Like it's like beyond Chrome to phone in that regard. So
yeah, it's really nice. You drag and drop files into your web browser and it pushes it straight to your device. It's just really 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 well implemented, beautifully designed. Love it. Pushbullet.com.
It's gonna win. Dang it.
You don't know that.
Dang it.
You don't know.
That's really cool.
It was really cool because you sent the Reddit link and then it opened it and I was like, wait, what is it? And it opened in Bacon Reader because it was a Reddit link and Reader is your Reddit app. That was really neat.
Yeah.
Yeah, very cool. Very cool, Gina. Fine. You're probably going to win. Fine. Jeez.
I don't know. I don't know.
Everybody loves Gina.
It's a stiff competition this week. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I agree. Let's
it's all good stuff.
Let's see here. AAAPoll.com/132 is the place to go to make your voice heard. If you don't vote, you can't complain, folks. Let's see here. Early reports are in. Pushbullet, like a speeding bullet, rushing out in front.
A pushed speeding bullet.
We'll see where this ends. But I have a feeling it might end with a bullet.
You never know. Circa's pretty gorgeous, and so is Switcher. Yep. See, I'm being charitable here, guys.
Thank you, Gina.
Touch Control is pretty awesome too.
I like just touching the screen and it coming on. So
that's pretty cool. You know, that's these awesome. Are all good apps. They're all really cool. Why can't we all win? Why does it have to be a competition? Can we go back to the old voting mechanism?
Yeah, right. We'll get a country to suddenly vote you up with 500 votes when we normally
only get.
My brother
and sisters in India.
So that is it for the arena and it for this episode. Fantastic discussion on today's episode. Ron Amadio, thank you so much for joining us once again on the show. It was a pleasure having you back, man.
Awesome to be here. Thanks.
Yeah, absolutely. This is kind of your opportunity to tell people what else you're working on. Obviously, you finished that mega article. Got any other mega articles that you're working on right now?
Next is probably like an Android design history thing, which I'm working on. I actually have a G1 in the mail to make this happen from eBay. So
excellent.
But all my stuff is at Ars Technica, or you get the real nitty gritty stuff on my Google Plus page. Just I don't know. How do you find a person's Google Plus page? Just Google Ron Amadio.
Yeah,
and you'll find it somehow.
Unfortunately, those shortened URLs are not.
I thought
plentiful.
They were going to roll out those vanity URLs to everybody.
You have to be verified and all this other junk. I got Twitter verified the other day. Go me!
Congratulations!
Congratulations!
Nice.
But I need to turn that into like a Google Plus verify thing.
You would think once again
they'd be weighted or something.
Once again, Ron. Now I don't know. You might be on their bad side now after that article. But,
yeah, maybe.
But you would think again. We know people at Google are watching the show. Why don't you verify all of us and give us vanity?
Yeah. Verified.
Yeah. If I got a vanity URL, I would use Google Plus way more. There you go.
It's true. Yeah. We'd probably all.
And
yeah.
I would redesign my avatar. So there you go.
Oh, boy. Sweeten the deal.
Wow.
I have a vanity URL and I don't use Google Plus that much. So I don't know. Maybe I haven't been grateful enough. Maybe if I use it more, I'll get you guys.
Wow. Well, you have the vanity URL. We talked about this already, too. It's from Null, right? Wasn't that like a...
Yeah. Yes.
Right.
Yeah. It was a backdoor to the vanity sort of a backdoor, URL.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, if people want to use your vanity URL, Gina, to find you on Google Plus or pretty much anywhere else, what are you working on? What awesomeness do you have going on? Where can people find you?
You can find me on Google Plus, plus.google.com/Gina Trapani. I actually just visited the Google campus and like stood in person in front of the Android statues at the top of my Google Plus profile right now. That was really fun. My company ThinkUp just launched last week. We started a crowdfunding campaign to get 1,000 subscribers and it's doing really well. We're at like 850, which I'm really, really excited about. So if you're interested in social networking analytics and owning your data and finding out more about the way that you present online, the way way that you participate online. Do check that out. That's at thinkup.com. And I also co-host This Week in Google, which is on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific with Leo and Jeff Jarvis. So if you like All But Android, you'll love Twig. You should come on by tomorrow, 1 p.m. Pacific. I'm really excited to do the show then.
Awesome. I am proud to say I was an early backer. I got in on that level, and I am stoked.
Yes.
I can't wait for
the
show.
So. Thank you.
Good stuff at ThinkUp. Ron, what about you?
Since everybody missed me, you can go find me at about.me/RonXO. Links to my Google Plus that I rarely use, and Twitter and Facebook and all that fun stuff. And by day, if you're into comic books, you should check out imagecomics.com, where we've got DRM-free downloads off of Image Comics' website. You can go enjoy The Walking Dead and Saga and East of West and the wonderful comic books that we put out.
What is the name of the documentary, the Walking Dead documentary?
Oh, yeah. If you go on YouTube, I think it's called The Walking Dead 10th. Just Google The Walking Dead 10th Anniversary, and there's a documentary on YouTube. It's on The Walking Dead's YouTube channel.
You might hear a Ron Richards and see a Ron Richards
you might see
in
me,
there.
Yes, talking about the phenomenon that is The Walking Dead.
It was an impressive documentary.
Yeah, it was actually really well done. It was very well done.
So,
yeah, they did a good job.
Cool stuff. Chad, what you got?
I was showing the Walking Dead documentary.
I was like, Chad,
there it
you look
is.
Like a webpage.
I do.
Pull up because my sideburns are all screwed up.
Oh, what? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, fine.
Oh, no, this is the panel. That's not the documentary.
Oh, what? Yeah, it said 10th anniversary. Well, yeah. You guys were given false information.
Well, there you go.
I must admit.
There's even more to find.
There you go. Yeah, absolutely head on over there. I'm your friendly video switcher, Chad. I do This Week in YouTube, OMG Craft. But I want you to head on over to youtube.com/OMGChad and subscribe to my personal YouTube page where we do all sorts of ridiculous fun stuff. Thanks. Jason, what are you up to?
Well, you can find me at about.me/JasonHowell. I'm at Jason Howell on Twitter. And yellowgoldmusic.com for musicy stuff. I'll go ahead and say,
we got the CD!
Woo!
Hey, look at that!
Yeah.
Look at that! Gorgeous. It's real!
It's real!
It's real!
Chad, take the camera!
I am! I have to switch. I don't have enough inputs. There we go.
I'm flung it on you.
Look at that.
See, it's a double disc.
Yeah. You remember when these came out, how cool they were?
Yes.
Wait a minute, what are you saying?
When they came out. When they first had the double discs.
He means your CDs, when your CD came out.
Yeah, it's cool right now.
Did you do the art and everything?
Yeah, too? I did the layout. Well, Scott Johnson did the lettering and did the art on the inside.
Cool.
So I love the album art. Love it. Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thanks. I'm stoked.
That's huge.
I just spent a bunch of time signing these for the Kickstarter, so I have to ship them out
The Kickstarter fulfillment problem. There you go.
I'm telling you, Kickstarter fulfillment is the hard part.
Yes,
that's
I know.
That's where you kind of earn it all there. It's a lot of work.
Yep.
But anyways, so that's what I've been working on. I've been very happy with that. Just wanted to throw another shout out to the All About Android Reddit, twitaa.reddit.com. We're getting more action in there. Thanks to Kyle D, Tom Girk, ICU, Captain Kipper, Inverse Sandwich, Slashtop, Ishting, Ian. A lot more people kind of posting stuff in there, but we need people in there to vote because that becomes very valuable to both me and us for creating the lineup, but also for you guys to kind of talk about the things that you want to talk about. So there you go, twitaa.reddit.com. And that is it for this week. Leave us a voicemail. We didn't play any this week because there was so much discussion, but I promise you there's a video mail coming next week. 347-SHOW-AAA is the voicemail number. Email us at aaa@twit.tv. Find the show on Twitter. We are there at Android Show. Show notes can be found as well as past episodes at twit.tv/AAA. You can also find our episodes all over the internet, YouTube, iTunes, the usual places. And finally, you can catch us live every Tuesday, starting at 5 p.m. Pacific at live.twit.tv. That's it for this week. We'll see you next week on another episode of All About Android. There's a frog in my throat there at the end.
It's a lot.
Bye, guys.